5. I'm a second early. For once, I'm 30 seconds early, guys, opposed to being 2 minutes late. Before I begin, let's let Twitter know I'm on. First things first. Inform Twitter we're live. Well, let's make sure my stream is working as well. Check on Rumble. Remember, guys, I'm only streaming on Rumble. Because, you know, it's a joke. What's up with celebrities getting veneers? Like, that's the first thing they buy nowadays is a new pair of teeth. Let's see here. Are we good? Yep. Copy this link over on Twitter to let everyone know that I'm here. Ugh, taking forever. On Rumble. Smiley face. Perfect. We are officially live on Rumble. Send now. Crazy week, everyone. Crazy week. Michigan's got some interesting stuff going on. MIGOP's heating up. You know, Christina Caramo taking over the MIGOP from a bunch of rhinos. Ron Weiser, I think his name was, former MIGOP head. Fucking rhino. Made the transition, I heard, difficult for the MIGOP and people coming in, like Caramo and them. Caramo, it's nice. It's nice to have someone like her. Who knows, man? I'm going to try to have her on the show one day, Christina Caramo. I know a few people within her circle. I've actually met Caramo once. Twice, actually. But I could, I'm sure I could try to convince her to get on the show. I can get a few people from MIGOP actually on this show. I'm actually tight with the thing about MIGOP, guys, Michigan GOP, is they're not who you would think they would be. It's a bunch of young guys. The vice chair and the co-vice chair, the two co-vice chairs, sorry. Because there's the MIGOP chair, which is Christina Caramo. Then you have the vice chair, which is some chick who was in like the previous chair. So she came back and won again. And then there's two co-vice chairs, and they're both from Wayne County. I know them. And I met them a few times. They're 27 years old, 28 years old. They're young dudes, you know? And one of them actually ran against Rashida Tlaib as a state rep in Wayne County as well. So MIGOP, shout out to MIGOP, who's getting the ball rolling. We're excited for them. It's cool stuff. We're excited about MIGOP. We're going full MAGA hat today. The blue MAGA hat is awesome. Oh, I forgot to put my other hat here. I really, really wanted to put my Biden sucks hat instead of my MAGA hat here. I'll have to do that soon on the next episode. But yeah, we're going full MAGA today, guys. If you're not full MAGA, then, I mean, what are you, you know? If you're not full MAGA at this point, if you're in the middle, whatever, okay? But if you're a conservative and you're not full MAGA, what's missing? Because I do know like a good handful of people who are conservative and they have a beef with Donald Trump. Is the beef legitimate? No. Like, they got stuck on some bullshit. Like, oh, Trump should have said this sentence a little bit better. What the fuck? You know what, guys? I'm sorry. I'll be back. I have to put this Biden sucks hat on the show today because I was pumped about that, and it's just got to happen. So I'll be back. I will be back. Let me put up the be back soon. And I'll be back. I'm getting the Biden sucks hat. All right, we're back. We are back. I'm out of breath because I'm fat. I don't look fat, but I'm overweight. Mic is good. Speaker's good. Right? Okay, so we're back. Mic's good. Speaker's good. I literally took off just to get that freaking hat back in the mix. The MAGA hat is on my head. All right, we're starting with Elon Musk. Well, this is not Elon Musk, but this is what the future of civilization is supposed to be looking like, guys. I think it's very interesting that this is not just what they think. This is not just, oh, yeah, civilization is going to end up like this one day. This is how we want civilization to look whenever they say something like that. Keep that in mind. Check out this freaking weird video, man. This is The Matrix.
Introducing Ectolife, the world's first artificial womb facility, powered entirely by renewable energy. Ectolife allows infertile couple to conceive a baby and become the true biological parents of their own offspring.
I'm sorry, but guys, that's literally a frame-by-frame shot of The Matrix, right? They're in their little pods that the humans were actually in. Well, they were in the Matrix the whole time. It's a frame by frame. Like, they can't even hide the fact that they're doing. I mean, they knew what they were going to do all along. It's just a matter of rolling it out and people dumb enough to not realize that, yo, this is the same shit we literally just seen in a movie. Ridiculous.
And become the true biological parents of their own offspring. It's a perfect solution for women who had their uterus surgically removed due to cancer or other complications. With Ectolife, premature births.
I'm sorry, but like, I have to cut this off again. But you're doing all of this because of a tiny, tiny sub category of women. I find that very, very hard to believe. Very, very hard.
Births and C-sections will be a thing of the past. Ectolife is designed to help countries that are suffering from severe population decline, including Japan, Bulgaria, South Korea, and many others.
Soon to be America, because, you know, the birth crisis in Japan. I mean, same thing's going to happen in America at the rate of people are having kids, which is pretty much diminished to nothing compared to back in the day. So a bunch of people are going to grow up without any kids. There's going to be adults. You know, Japan, I'm sure you guys have heard that adult diapers sell more than actual infant diapers. So that's because there's no kids to take care of these adults, because those adults didn't get married or didn't have kids.
The facility features 75 highly equipped labs, Each state-of-the-art lab can accommodate up to 400 growth pods or artificial wombs. Every pod is designed to replicate the exact conditions that exist inside the mother's uterus. A single building can incubate up to 30,000 lab-grown babies per year.
I hate to say this, but like the way God made the world, right? The way the world was designed was that no human invention will be able to potentially replicate, right? Something close to what God did with whether it's weather, whether it's medicine, whether it's life, right? Cloning. But with that comes extremely darkened, a darkened byproduct, right? There's always something that comes to be very terrible with something like that, right? We can be sustainable and try to be play God all we want as a government, but there's always something sick, dark, and twisted that results as a consequence because of that. And yeah, I don't care how much they can emulate a woman's conditions of having a baby inside a pod. There's something deeply disturbing about this.
Ectolife allows your baby to develop in an infection-free environment. The pods are made of materials that prevent germs from sticking to their surfaces. Every growth pod features sensors that can monitor your baby's vital signs, including heartbeat, temperature, blood pressure, breathing rate, and oxygen saturation. The artificial intelligence-based system also monitors the physical features of your baby and reports any potential genetic abnormalities. The pods are equipped with a screen that displays real-time data on the developmental progress of your baby. These data are sent directly to your phone so you can track your baby's health from the comfort of your zone. The app also provides you with a high-resolution live view of your baby's development. A special section in the app allows you to watch a time-lapse of your baby's growth.
Guys, what the hell? What the hell did I just watch? What the fuck was that? Is that supposed to be normal? I love how it's either an abortion, right, that's being pushed, killing the baby, or it's having the baby in a freaking pod, and you're monitoring the baby on your phone like you're watching cameras in your house, like a Ring camera. You're watching your baby in a pod. Where's the... that's just... I mean, and how many ways do these people want to play God? Scares me. Scares me to death. But yeah, Elon commented on that, which is why it came to my feed. Which, of course, Elon says it will be a brave new world. I mean, he's either trolling or he's being serious. Do I 100% trust Elon Musk? Fuck no. Hell fuck no. The guy's talking about he was a huge climate change buff, right? He's a liberal in every sense of it, outside of just recently in terms of challenging the media, right? And the transgenderism and the pronoun. So he's cool with that stuff. But what others, what, like everything else, he openly admits he voted for Biden. He's pushing the EV harder than anyone, obviously, with Tesla. And we all know that EV's a crock of shit. Absolutely unnecessary. EV. We don't need EV, guys. The only thing that EV has done is... one, it's caused basic modern-day slavery with the lithium mining. And the lithium mining is terrible for our freaking environment. So, yeah. Good luck with that. So when Elon says shit like, it will be a brave new world, you know, don't get me wrong. Everything Elon, a lot of the shit he's into is progressive for humanity, which is cool. Because, like, the billionaire psycho Bill Gates people are like, yeah, we're here to change and fix humanity. We're going to change your DNA with vaccines and you're going to have fucking myocarditis or whatever, right? Elon's not like that. But he might just be a different dynamic of that, right? Which is extreme. It seems extremely progressive. You know, with what he did with Twitter is awesome. You know, I love Twitter more than ever now. I never really paid attention to Twitter. And as soon as I started paying attention, I gained like 1,300 followers in a matter of like 2 months, right? I started tweeting again at, in like February. So take Elon with a grain of salt. But I don't completely trust him. We got Ron DeSantis also talking about Elon Musk. Let's see what he has to say. This is beginning of my show, guys, regardless of the title. I just like to talk about shit that's like just popped off in my Twitter feed that I want to talk about or just like watch with you guys. So bear with me.
Dysfunctional government can take the state with more natural advantages than any other state in our country. All these great industries, great weather, and it could basically ruin it.
What does it say that Elon wants to move Twitter out of San Francisco? And he's shopping right now. He's not paying rent anymore. He's going to move it out. Could Elon move Twitter to Florida? Would you support that?
You know, I don't know. I mean, I know Elon, and I best basically what I would tell him is like, okay, if you're going to move Twitter to Florida, are you bringing woke employees to Florida? Or are you bringing just your people? If it's just his people, then it may be good. But it's like, you know, and he did fire a lot of people at Twitter.
What percentage of your staff did you fire at Twitter?
I find it interesting that DeSantis' only concern is that if Elon brings a handful of woke employees from Twitter, right? I mean, I get it. You've built a conservative state with, you know, kind of anti-woke values. And you don't want some, I mean, first of all, your state should be open to anybody, right? But that's what he pinned, like, want to kind of, this is kind of new territory for DeSantis. This is the part where we learn a lot about DeSantis, because Trump is not in office, and there's a lot of shit that's got to develop between now and his actual presidency, right? That is going to show where DeSantis stands. We don't know 100% where DeSantis stands, but we're finding out slowly and slowly and slowly, right? And we're only going to find out more. Like, we are going to for sure know who DeSantis is by the election latest. So he's very calculated with what he says, which doesn't really help our kind of dissecting of who he is and what he stands for. But at the same time, he does come off as disingenuous a lot, which is what Laura Loomer is always kind of spazzing about. She's a little too much for me, but she doesn't lie a lot of the time. She's just so up DeSantis's ass. Like, it's a bit too much when your whole political and journalistic career is about one individual, right? Like, she has DeSantis derangement syndrome. Laura Loomer does. And sometimes it's good, and sometimes it's kind of fucking annoying.
Sure. One of the great business stories of the year.
I think we're about 20% of the original size.
So 80% left.
Yes.
And he's made the point that Twitter and other types of Silicon Valley companies, you know, they live in this intellectual cocoon, woke ideology infuses everything. And over the last many years, they've been exporting that ideology via these social platforms all the way around the world. Yeah. And it's really, I think, infected politics, culture in a very negative way. So I really applaud him for taking on Twitter, trying to moor it back towards facts and truth, and stop to always parrot the ideology and trying to censor beliefs that conflict with it. San Francisco, look, politically was never my cup of tea, right? But I mean, you go back 10 years or so, it was a very thriving, bustling city. Yeah. People like to visit.
So I don't mind that part, though, where he says basically that he's happy what he's done with Twitter, right? He wasn't neutral there, which is good. He's actually saying shit that matters and is like decisive versus beating around the damn bush.
A visit there. Who's taking vacations to San Francisco now? Nobody's doing that. I mean, it's just not something they're doing. So dysfunction.
My brother, who's the co-host of this show, went to San Fran. What was it? 2019? How the fuck? I still don't know how he went there, but he told me he was the first person to ever tell me San Fran was a pile of shit. We kind of started getting some news about it. Pelosi's district's a shithole and everything. But he went there. He's like, it smelled like piss. It was like psychopaths, like walking around downtown fucking San Fran, which is a huge tourist spot. I know I got a friend in San Fran. I texted him the other day. I'm like, hey, how is it over there? You know, I was kind of playing both sides. I'm like, you know, despite what Fox News says, how is San Fran? And he's like, it has its shitty areas, but at the same time, it's still habitable. He lives downtown and he's not some whack job, you know, bum. He's like a high level. He works a high level Silicon freaking Valley job or whatever. So, and he's enjoying it there. So, I mean, I don't know. I'm not there. I can't say shit. Ray Epps, apparently the FBI agent, the Fed, what do they call it? Disruptor, agitator, who was at January 6th. Apparently this fellow was on 60 Minutes tonight, and I freaking missed it. Apparently, according to End Wokeness, Twitter channel says, 60 Minutes had Ray Epps on tonight on to prove that he's not a Fed. Watch this and tell me if you're convinced. Fuck it, I'll watch it, I guess. I think I've watched this already, but...
Put it out there, I'm probably going to go to jail for tomorrow. We need to go into the Capitol. Into the Capitol.
What?
No! Peacefully! Fed!
To some in the crowd, Epps seemed so over the top, he must have been a government agent, a Fed sent to entrap them.
When you said, we have to go into the Capitol, we have to go into the Capitol, what were you thinking?
I said some stupid things.
My thought process, we surround the Capitol, we get all the people there. I mean, I had problems with the election. It was my duty as an American.
What the fuck are we watching, guys? This guy, so all of a sudden 60 Minutes has a Trump supporter's back. Dude, this is worse than QAnon Shaman. This guy's worse than QAnon Shaman. Right, that dude was built in a freaking lab. Right? Was he treated poorly and used an example of? Yeah. But is he some scot-free like citizen? No, dude, he's a freaking actor. Look at him, man. Jacob Hansley or whatever. Watch an interview with the guy. These guys are full of shit characters out of a movie. And now 60 Minutes has this guy's back. All of a sudden acting like, yo, yeah, why'd you do that, dude? Why did you say let's storm the Capitol? You're just a sweet little Trump supporter. Like, they got this totally backwards, guys.
To peacefully protest along with anybody else that wanted to.
The next morning, January 6th, Epps was out by the Washington Monument, still focused on a single goal.
We are going to the Capitol, where our problems are. It's that direction.
Oh my God, dude. It's like they're not even trying when they bullshit. Like 60 Minutes has like got to be one of the most full of shit programs in America. I didn't even tune in for Marjorie Taylor Greene. Because you know what that was going to be about. It was going to be about her speaking her opinion every now and then. And then the fucking lady who runs the thing is just going to, you know, spin it however she pleases. All right, guys, what do we got here? Alec Baldwin. This is all breaking news, by the way. I'm just going through breaking shit as of today, Sunday. Freaking Poso. Why do they got Poso up here? All right. The post-millennial reports that New Mexico still charging Rust Armorer and death of Helena Hutchins dropping charges. So they're not charging Alec Baldwin, guys. They officially have a fall person for Alec Baldwin for the shooting that occurred in the movie Rust. A court date has been set August 9th for New Mexico judge to consider evidence against Rust film armorer Hannah Gutierrez Reed. So they seriously just like pinned this on someone who wasn't Alec Baldwin. They found their fall guy, even though Alec Baldwin shot the bitch in the face. Like, what the hell? According to New York Post, prosecutors with Santa Fe District's Attorney's Office have accused Gutierrez Reed, who was responsible for the guns and ammunition on a set, with sloppy mishandling of firearms. Gutierrez Reed pleaded not guilty when the charges were first brought to her. On the day of the shooting, a live round was loaded in Baldwin's Colt 45 revolver, a weapon for which the armorer was responsible. What? What? After the weapon was loaded, prosecutors allege Gutierrez-Reed exited the church where the scene was being shot. Rust was Gutierrez-Reed's second movie as an armor, although she is a daughter of Hollywood veteran armor Thal Reed. So they literally just freaking pinned the crime of Alec Baldwin on this armor for loading the Colt 45. What did the... it's almost as if they're trying to tell you our guys can do whatever the fuck they want. Now, Alec Baldwin is clear, free and clear to do whatever he wants because he flew on Epstein. He was fucking flew to Epstein Island. This piece of shit is going to continue to live his shitty life impersonating Trump on SNL. Dude, he shot the freaking chick right in the mouth. All right, guys. Robert F. Kennedy. He's back. He's in the news. He's officially announced. This is the start of my program. Shit, I'm fucking halfway through and I just started. Robert F. Kennedy running for president of the United States as a Democrat. And what I'm planning to go through is a little bit of his touch up a little bit on his announcement speech, which was cool. You know, I like Robert F. Kennedy for the most part. But then we're going to get into the bad of Robert F. Kennedy. This guy's not perfect. He's far from it, actually. But he's also really cool when it comes to the vaccine. So let's get a little bit into what he had to say for his Kennedy 2024 campaign run.
I'm going to talk about lockdowns. And nobody wants to talk about it. But we need to understand, you know, I grew up at a time, most of my life was at a time that economists call the Great Prosperity. It's when the American middle class between 1945 and 75 grew to be the biggest economic engine on the face of the globe. I mean, we were the economy in the globe. We made everything and everybody looked to us, not only for goods, but for moral leadership. And we became the most powerful country in the world, unrivaled. And it was because, and we had a stable democracy with institutions that people trusted.
It is kind of crazy to see a Kennedy running for office after this long. And Robert F. Kennedy Jr. has really built a reputation for himself he started getting big during the Trump. I feel like it's crazy because Kennedy was supposed to run on Trump's campaign as his vaccine guy or whatever. And then something happened, which I don't feel like getting into. But it's just crazy that when Trump won, Kennedy's popularity went up because he started becoming more outspoken about vaccines in 2017-18, right? Coincidentally, before COVID and the COVID vaccine, which gave him, it's almost like Trump became president. Robert F. Kennedy established his platform, on a mainstream basis where more and more people were getting familiar with him during Trump's presidency, as if he knew about COVID, right? Not in a bad way either, in a good way. This guy is going to be the counter to the COVID narrative, Robert F. Kennedy. So it's just kind of the timing's very interesting of Kennedy's come up into the mainstream light, right? Because he started talking about childhood vaccines. He started talking about the flu vaccine, and it almost, from a timeline standpoint, transitioned perfectly into 2020 and Dr. Fauci and the COVID vaccine.
The press that told us the truth and the destruction, everybody knows it's an economic and political economic rule. You cannot have democracy in a society where there is high concentrations of wealth and widespread poverty. You need a middle class or you don't get democracy. And
well, how do you plan on getting there, sir? Through job creation and stimulating the economy through capitalistic policy, lower tax rates, or do you plan on taxing the rich and divvying up the money like any other democratic socialist? So he's gonna have to elaborate on that at some point.
That is a law. That is a law. You cannot do it. You cannot do it unless you have a big middle class, and we had that. But since the early 1980s, there's been a systematic attack on our middle class, and the coup de grace was the lockdown. The lockdown was the biggest shift in wealth in human history, and I'm going to tell you about that in a second. And I blame President Trump for the lockdown.
Now, Damn. He's blaming MAGA for the lockdown, guys. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. blames Donald J. Trump for the 2020-2021 lockdowns.
A lot of people say, and President Trump gets blamed for a lot of things that he didn't do, and he gets blamed for some things that he did do. But the worst thing that he did to this country, to our civil rights, to our economy, to the middle class in this country, was the lockdown. Now, President Trump, in fairness, let me just make this point, will tell people, well, the lockdown wasn't my idea. It was my bureaucrats rolled me on it. I was saying we shouldn't do it. But that's not a good enough excuse. He was the president of the United States.
That's a tricky one, dude. You're saying that it's Trump's fault for not for locking down the country? Do you know what the mainstream media and the big medical groups would have done if he didn't lock down the country? Do you know how many more lives they would have taken if he didn't lock down? They would have. We already know that the media went ham on the public between remdesivir, ventilators, the vaccine, not giving ivermectin, and not giving hydroxychloroquine, right? So imagine if Trump says, I'm not locking this country down. So every person who they killed all the people in the senior living homes. So every person who started to get sick because Trump didn't lock it down would have ended up in the hospital and gotten killed either through remdesivir, a ventilator, and who would have been blamed for it? Donald J. Trump. So what did you exactly? I mean, you want him to not lock down the country when he's not just fighting COVID. He's fighting the COVID ambassadors who are killing people in order to justify the vaccine, right? Without the ventilators, without remdesivir, without censorship of actual natural and, you know, pharmaceutical remedies, simple ones, cheap ones. I mean, it's way more difficult than Robert F. Kennedy is making it seem. So yeah, Trump had to lock down the country or else they were going to kill way more people than they did even with the lockdowns.
And as Harry Truman said, the buck stops here. On May 2nd, 2020, 600 doctors signed a letter to President Trump begging him not to allow the lockdowns. They said because at that time, all of the pandemic protocols anywhere in the world, the WHO, CDC, everywhere, the European Health Agency, all says you never do mass lockdowns. It causes much worse havoc and deaths and injuries than if you do the standard protocol, which is you lock down the sick, you protect the vulnerable, and you let everybody else go back to work. Otherwise, you are going to wreak havoc. And of course, you know, and
I mean, listen, I totally agree that the lockdowns were horrible. There's no argument there. And there's no argument that there was significant detriment because of the lockdowns and Trump was put in a tough position. But in my opinion, Trump thought this out. He had a good team of people. And it was, he knew that he was fighting more than one battle. And it wasn't just COVID he was fighting. He was fighting an army of tyranny that was going to kill people, whether it was through COVID or goddamn whatever other method they were going to do. And the more people who got the higher numbers of COVID, the more people they were going to kill. Because they killed a lot of people with remdesivir. They killed a lot of people with ventilators. It's just bullshit. I think this is a bullshit argument by Robert F. Kennedy. It's a good narrative to run on because you have a lot of people who aren't going to think this through and say, yeah, he's right. But he's not fooling me.
I wrote about it for the, on Instagram. I was writing every day. I was citing these economic studies that showed every point in unemployment you get 37,000 excess deaths from heart attacks, suicides, you know, plus imprisonments. I was writing about this, and they dumped me from social. They said that's misinformation. But it was not. But people were saying it. People knew it. It wasn't just me. And we now know, of course, that it's true. There's now study after study, and every comparison between the states and nations that locked down compared to those who didn't, you know, had shown the ones who locked down, the more you locked down, the worse you got. Worse COVID deaths, worse excess deaths. Sweden's numbers came out this week. Sweden was the only country in Europe that didn't lock down. It had the lowest excess deaths in Europe, which is very predictable. If the nation, you know, the nation.
Yeah, Sweden wasn't dealing with a systemic cabal in their medical field. In their agency field, CDC, Sweden's not dealing with all that shit. Okay, Trump wasn't just fighting COVID. If he was fighting COVID, do you think Trump would have given a fuck? We all know COVID was a piece of shit flu. It wasn't COVID who was killing people. It was the system. He wasn't protecting people from COVID.
Nation that led lockdowns was us, and we had the highest body count of COVID on Earth. We have 4.2% of the world's population. We had 16% of the COVID deaths. At some point.
Yes, but how many of them were actually COVID, sir? You know this is bullshit. He knows Robert F. Kennedy's way smarter than this. He's much more of a truther than he leads himself to be in this regard. He knows why people were dying, and it wasn't because of COVID. It was misclassifications as well, along with the other 3 points that I already made.
Even the media is going to have to say, stop saying this was a success story.
Keep in mind that COVID pandemic just ended last week. Relevant.
But the health issues were almost dwarfed by the economic cataclysm that befell our country. The IMF and a Harvard study by Larry Summers says the cost of the lockdown to the United States was $16 trillion. $16 trillion for nothing. $16 trillion. We shifted $4 trillion from the middle class in this country to the super rich. We created 500 new billionaires. The existing billionaires in.
Yeah, and if Trump is so awful of an individual for what he did, well, then why did he not benefit from that at all? Tell me how Trump benefited from COVID. And if he didn't, then what's your point?
Increased their wealth, according to the Oxfam study that came out 3 days ago, by 30%. This was a gift to the rich. And guess what? The ones who were the people who got riches were the social media companies like Amazon and Facebook and Microsoft that were conspiring with President Trump's White House to censor people like me. So the very people who were profiting on those lockdowns were the ones who were strip mining the wealth from the middle class in this country. Amazon got to close down all of its.
I don't know what he's talking about. Was Trump, maybe someone can inform me, did Trump censor Robert F. Kennedy in some way? Or what did Trump exact? I don't remember Trump censoring much in his presidency, because I remember Trump talking about hydroxychloroquine and you know, ivermectin as being lead solutions, right? I don't know. Maybe I missed something that Kennedy saw. You know, he must have been paying attention, probably better attention than me, but I just don't know what he's talking about.
It's competitors. 3.3 million businesses it shut down. And I'm in a lawsuit involving Amazon for censoring one of my books. So they were censoring people who criticized the lockdowns while they were raking in the money from the lockdowns.
Interesting. Robert F. Kennedy has a lot to say about Donald J. Trump. And don't get me wrong, Robert F. Kennedy has a lot of great shit to say. And everything he said was true in regards to the problems that happened and how legitimate they are and how they long-term affected our economic situation, depression, kids, suicide. I mean, I know social workers who are seeing like patients nowadays, and they have more patients than ever. And the kind of the psychotic nature of people has gotten way worse, and people are just psychologically not there anymore. So I agree with what happened was very wrong. I'm just not ready to pinpoint Trump, all of that on Trump just yet. I could be totally wrong. We could all be totally wrong on who we think Trump is, but I need a little more evidence on Trump's bad behavior, potentially. Let's see what he's got to say. And this is an example of Robert F. Kennedy that I like.
You want to treat them at home. Give them the things that we know kill viral replication. Zinc and anything that enhances zinc, like hydroxychloroquine, ivermectin, and 100 other remedies that we now know dramatically reduce the spread of this disease. And what was our protocol? Our protocol was to do none of that. No treatment until you go to the hospital. Then your treatment.
Guys, remember, Trump also gave the right, he still talks about it, the right to choose or whatever medication, even if it's experimental, it's your right to choose. Trump enabled that. Trump talked about hydroxychloroquine. I don't think ivermectin gained traction until after Trump's presidency. I could be wrong, but I'm sure he would have talked good about it. When he talked about simple solutions, they rejected him. So it wasn't just Trump is, I don't know. I guess I am defending Trump because I just don't see where a lot of the fuck ups are.
And are two things that are bound to kill you, ventilators and remdesivir. And Tony Fauci knew that remdesivir would kill you. He knew that because in 2019, he tried to use it for Ebola. And within 5 days of treatment, it gave lethal side effect to 54% of the people. And the safety monitoring board ordered him to terminate the use of that drug. And he, through a phony, contrived, absolutely fraudulent study that he manipulated and orchestrated, got that drug made standard of care. It is homicide. And if you look, how does it kill people? Two ways, three ways. Kidney failure, heart failure, and all organ collapse. And what happened to the people who died in the pandemic? What were they dying of? Kidney failure. All the doctors said, you heard it again and again, we've never seen a virus that attacks the kidneys. Because it wasn't the virus. It was the remdesivir.
See, that's the Robert F. Kennedy I can't disagree with, right? Remdesivir killed a ton of people. I remember talking to a friend of mine who I haven't talked to in a long time, but I would talk about the peer review studies about hydroxychloroquine. I would talk about remdesivir potentially being, a shitty fucking solution. And this guy was so inundated in the medical system, he could not fucking understand one thing I was saying. And I just couldn't understand why. Well, what does it benefit you? Oh, wait. Big Pharma pays you. That's what it is. I already talked about this story before, but Robert F. Kennedy's stance on LGBTQ in 2011 was very supportive. So what's going to happen in 2023 when LGBTQ is a fucking violent child grooming organization? Is Robert F. Kennedy going to back him? Is he? Seriously, this is a very important question, because this isn't the same LGBTQ we thought we were all, potentially being, that was being forced upon us, right? This is the LGBTQ of today, which is satanic and disgusting and pedophilic, if that's even a fucking word. So, questionable stance on Robert F. Kennedy here in regards to LGBTQ. And then we got another questionable stance on Robert F. Kennedy. Here's what he thinks should happen to people who don't believe in global warming or climate change.
I think they should be in jail. I think they should be enjoying free hots and a cot at the Hague with all the other war criminals who are there.
What about politicians, people who deny, who express skepticism?
They're selling out the public trust. And, you know, I think those guys who are doing the Koch brothers bidding and who are against all the evidence of the rational mind are saying that global warming doesn't exist, that they are contemptible human beings, and that, you know, I wish that there were a law you could punish them under. I don't think there's a law that you can punish those politicians under, but I think the Koch brothers should be prosecuted for reckless endangerment? Absolutely. That's a criminal offense, and they ought to be serving time for it.
So Robert F. Kennedy was an environmentalist before. He's always been an attorney, but his first legal battles were regarding environmentalism, activism, sustainability, green bullshit, right? So Robert F. Kennedy, before vaccines, this was his thing. And then he was approached by women who knew that he was a climate activist and said, and the woman said, "Hey, could you help us out regarding vaccines? Because we think, you know, there's something serious going on with kids and blah, 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 and fucking whatever." So Kennedy chose to help him out. So that's the Kennedy I don't like, because Kennedy just said that he thinks politicians who don't believe in climate change belong in prison. What the fuck? His dad, you know, the crazy thing about Kennedy, though, is he does admit, like, he thinks the CIA killed his dad and his uncle, which would be John F. Kennedy and Robert F. Kennedy Sr. So some of the shit he says is freaking on point. The other shit is like, yo, dude, you're a fucking communist. So it's either one or the other. All right, guys. Before we get into Gretchen Whitmer, who I cannot, she's my forced governor, right? I think she was forced on us some way. I don't know how legitimate her seat as in the governor seat is for Michigan. But before we get into her, let's talk about this Blinken fella. Biden campaign, Blinken, in an Intel letter to discredit Hunter Biden's laptop story, ex-CIA official says. 51 former officials signed a letter in 2020 saying stories about Hunter Biden's laptop were Russian disinformation. Isn't that crazy, dude? Anthony Blinken, the current Secretary of State, signed a freaking official document saying that Hunter's laptop was Russian disinformation. And here he is with this criminal president fucking running this country to the ground. It's crazy, man. Your crimes can be all out there. I think we all knew Blinken was a corrupt piece of shit, but to see it now that he was a part of fucking censoring Hunter's laptop, the origin and the truth of it, is ridiculous. And the CIA director, it's interesting that the CIA kind of outed him here. Michael Morell testified before the House Judiciary Intelligence Committees and revealed that Blinken was the impetus of the public statement signed in 2020 that implied that laptop belonging to Hunter Biden was disinformation. That's fucking crazy. House Judiciary Committee Chairman Jim Jordan and House Intelligence Chairman Mike Turner of Ohio sent a letter to Blinken Thursday notifying that the panels are conducting oversight, federal law enforcement, and intelligence matters within our respective jurisdictions. What the fuck is truly going to come of that, though? I mean, how many times are we seeing the House making all these threats and MTG, we're going to impeach Biden? They haven't even impeached Biden yet, bro. The easiest task of I could prove a basis for Biden's impeachment, and the House hasn't even done it yet. Between quid pro quo, between Burisma, between the Chinese energy companies, between the sick shit on Hunter's laptop about Joe Biden. What the fuck is the House doing that's taking so long? What is McCarthy up to, really? It's so easy to go and talk to the press and say, we're doing this and we're doing that, and you're having feisty conversations with the press. And, you know, you make a Twitter clip out of it and everybody believes that you're on the right side, and McCarthy is going to, we're going to impeach Biden. We're going to hold all these investigations into liberal politicians and freaking Anthony Blinken. And we're going to do all, and nothing fucking comes of it. Like, don't you think that we realize that this is all strategic bullshit by now? Let's just jump into Gretchen Whitmer and her ugly fucking staff. Oh my God. I hate Michigan, guys. I hate Michigan. Like, I'm going to help fix Michigan in every way that I can. But this is so robotic.
I'm passing the phone along to my partner, who has helped deliver on promises to put people first.
Now I'm passing the phone to someone who is a champion for democracy, but may need a reminder that a Presidential Citizens Medal is not actually jewelry.
Hey, am I doing this right? Now I'm going to turn it over to the
crazy eyes. Look at these fucking crazy eyes. Look at this crazy bitch. This is the bitch. No, Jocelyn Benson is the bitch. Not this one. Look at this. This is the Secretary of State. Ridiculously crazy looking of Michigan. Scary.
The people's attorney for the state of Michigan, or the cat's attorney. Take your pick.
I'm passing the phone.
This is the fucking bitch, Jocelyn Benson, man. This is the Attorney General of Michigan, by the way, guys. For those who don't know, I think a lot of people do know this corrupt, crazy ass, liberal, psychotic, mind control freak. Dude, you know that she's the Attorney General, right? So she's the one who should be investigating basically any, you know, worthy crimes of prosecution in Michigan on a state level. She should be, you know, her department heads that. You know what she's focused on? Bringing trans into the school, public schools. She said that every public school should have a trans fucking drag queen there. That's what she said. The Attorney General of Michigan said that public schools should have trans story hour at every freaking school. How's that possible, bro?
And as someone who stands tall for Michigan each and every day, Michigan's first Black Lieutenant Governor, Garland Gilchrist. But first, I got to get to him.
I'm about to pass the...
That made no fucking sense. First Black Governor, whatever the... You know how racist that is, bro? That's so racist to say that.
Governor, oh, for Michigan, each and every day, Michigan's first Black Lieutenant Governor, Garland Gilchrist. But first, I got to get to him.
I'm about to pass the phone to a tough, tested, tenacious leader who I admire deeply and am proud to work with every day, even though she's a Spartan fan.
I'm passing the phone to someone who I met at the University of Michigan, but who, like me, bleeds green.
I'm passing the...
Bro. You know what's crazy about Michigan politics? I mean, you guys tell me if it's like this around you, but like, these fucking characters are all, it's like under some kind of spell where their behavior, you know, those clips on YouTube and Twitter that you'll see where the local news is identical to one another, you know, no matter what state or city it's in, the lines, the delivery, all of it's the same. This is what the politicians are like in Michigan. No matter which liberal politician you are, they all have the same energy and the same tone. And they're talking about college sports because, like, that's the only relatable thing nowadays between both parties is that, like, sports, right? Because you can't talk about anything else in a video like this. Every time I go to a town hall or anything that resembles, you know, anywhere that's inhabited by a politician, I see some strange behavior, and it resembles everything we just seen in this video. But yeah, Gretchen's up to no good right now, and she is working on taking our guns away in Michigan. Gretchen Whitmer signed a package of 6 expensive gun violence prevention bills until Thursday, which will create universal background checks for all firearms and mandate safe storage requirements around children. By the way, I just want to say, like, any gun law at this point is not beneficial to society. It's just impeding on our gun rights, right? Slowly. That's very strategic. It's not going to be like, all right, guys, give me your fucking guns right now. It's going to be, hey, those pistol braces, yeah, they're kind of dangerous, even though a gun's a gun. What do you, pistol braces, what's that going to do? Or it's like, hey, guys, this demographic or this age range is not going to work with us in terms of background checking. And it just becomes this freaking compounding matter where someone like Gretchen Whitmer is going to continuously start bringing expansive bills like this into fruition. Michigan has felt the impact of deadly school shootings in recent years. In February, a gunman killed three Michigan State student university students and critically wounded five others. In 2021, a shooting at Oxford High School near Detroit left four students dead and six others injured. It's interesting in Michigan, man. It's interesting what's going on here. These gunshots, these shootings at campuses. Oh, and the timing is impeccable. Impeccable between the shootings and Whitmer coming up with bills to fix gun laws. I swear, man. And Alex Jones got sued, right? Universal background checks and safe storage are long overdue steps we are proud to take today. We'll save lives by keeping guns out of the hands of criminals and domestic abusers and children in the home. How is this going to stop a criminal from getting a gun exactly, guys? How does a criminal get stopped from getting a gun? No, seriously. This is a legitimate question. How does a criminal not get a gun? Because any criminal that gets a gun nowadays doesn't get it legitimately half the time anyway. So what is this going to do exactly? A criminal is always going to have a gun. It's just a matter of the good guy having it as well, which you guys are only taking away from the good guy because you guys are protecting the criminal in order to freaking take away our rights as gun owners. People who want to obtain a gun license in Michigan will have to meet a number of specific qualifications, including not having been deemed insane or legally incapacitated or under an order of involuntary commitment and inpatient or outpatient setting due to a mental illness. In addition, one bill will require people to keep their firearms unloaded and locked with a locking device or stored in a lockbox in their home if a minor lives at or is likely to visit the property. So now I gotta fucking put my gun somewhere where I don't want to put it. All right, what do you got? What if I don't? Is ATF's gonna show up? Where's your gun, dude? Did you lock it up? Fuck out of here. The tragic mass shooting at Michigan University was a call to action. What? A call to action? How is a mass shooting a call to action? It's almost as if it's like, you know, a call to action is usually pre-planned. What do you mean a mass shooting was a call? What does that even mean? That's poor wording. And Governor Whitmer and Michigan legislators answered it by championing common sense gun laws to keep all Michiganders safe from gun violence. I fucking hate the word Michiganders. That bitch says it continuously. Every gun buyer in Michigan will be required to pass a background check, and every gun owner will be required to safely store their weapon. So that's one thing she's up to. Whitmer doing it up. And by the way, I've seen that like galleries and photos that took place during this whole thing. And she's hanging out with like police chiefs. Police chiefs are such fucking sellouts now. They're such freaking sellouts. Anyone who thinks that like the police is honest and deserves a bunch of respect is wrong. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm not calling to defund the police. And I definitely do not call for I think the police is very, very much needed in everyday life. But the police force has been totally corrupted in favor of the liberal agenda and the liberal inner cities. The police chief is right there with the mayor, with the governor, whoever it is, either kissing their ass or basically just being a talking head for these guys. It happens everywhere. And there was a police chief with her at this gun reform thing with Whitmer, which I thought was totally corrupt. Like the police is supposed to be one of the most independent thing in this country, right? Or in your cities. But then again, so is the FBI and the IRS and the CIA and the whatever the fuck else is corrupted. attorney general. You got Janet, who is it? Freaking Janet Yellen, who's going to Ukraine. What the fuck's a former Federal Reserve going to do in Ukraine? A money laundering hub. Oh, she's checking on her investments. Sounds about fucking right. You guys got a bad version of me tonight. All right. This is the Brown Conservatives. We got to talk about brown people. We're talking about Imran Khan, the Pakistani former prime minister. The former prime minister of Pakistan, ladies and gentlemen, who the country completely took a dive under him, honestly. I mean, the divide in Pakistan going on right now is huge. It's huge. For those who don't know, Pakistan is under, first of all, one of the worst economic states it's ever been in the history of this world. People can't find jobs. The dollar, the rupee is worthless. Violence is whatever, through the roof. Transgenderism is growing. Feminism is growing in Pakistan. I mean, it's a complete shit show. And under Imran Khan, who ran for a couple years, I mean, he's the voice of reason to a lot of people. But at the same time, this country, or sorry, his country went in the shitter while he was. And who knows? I mean, I don't know much about Pakistani politics, but it's very possible there was bad actors. I mean, it's not like the United States under Trump was perfect. And the reason it wasn't perfect was because there was state governors and mayors and people in different regions and states that were kind of controlling their, regions. And they were New York, San Francisco. You know, those weren't great under Trump. So it's very possible that, you know, Imran Khan was subject to that. But I just thought it was funny. The headline says it all. The guy said that Biden was causing a coup in Pakistan, which is could be very true, because he did get pretty much exited out of office. And then he was basically, now he's under potential arrest. And he's saying that the Biden administration funded it because he's a rogue agent, pretty much. He's pretty much like a Donald Trump type figure. But now Imran Khan's asking for Biden's support on demand for free and fair election. I just had to share that because I thought that too funny that someone like Imran Khan needed Biden's help. If you're looking for Biden's support on a fair election, dude, you're in the wrong fucking mindset. You have no idea what's going on in the world. All right, we're going to keep it brown. Oof. Oof. Disgusting. What the fuck's going on in India? Oh, man. No joke. This is gross, bro. Is there like a... Oh, my God. Bro. How is this? Ugh. Apparently, this is the new culture of India. Well, let's see what this guy has to say on Instagram. I've been bullied my entire life. I wish I could be able to walk the street and exist in public without fear of being attacked. I wish I could post an image of myself online without being intimidated with hate. Oh, my God. So this caused a lot of issues as well. But my point was, so once I saw this, I think this chick, she's getting pretty popular on Twitter. Her name's Samira Khan. She wrote, 8-2 India, the West is infecting the East with wokeism. Not completely true. These things were happening parallel, guys. U.S. was not alone in its wokeism in the West. The West was not alone. Sorry. And I made this point in a replying tweet. I said, I know cross-dressing in Pakistan has been kind of a thing for a while now, kind of a form of entertainment. Either way, this shit is sick. And what I meant by that was in Pakistan, this is an article from 2009 of pretty much transgenderism in Pakistan and how it's always been a thing in Pakistan. I mean, shit, growing up, my mom would tell me that there was like dudes who dressed up as women and shit. And like, it was like a form of entertainment at one point, but like, I guess I didn't realize that it was actually like a way of life that Pakistan was supporting. So Pakistan's transgender community in 2009, right? Let's pick it up. I mean, granted, we saw some transgender people in 2009, but I swear Pakistan's was more normalized at the in 2009 than it was in the United States, which is saying a lot, bro. That's saying a lot. In 2009, Pakistan officially recognized trans people, also called Khusra, as a third sex. Besides, the authorities introduced new policies in an attempt to include transgenders, also called Khusras, into the public sector. Marginalized by the mainstream society for centuries and often cast out by their families, the Khusras rely on a guru system in which an elder Khusra houses younger trans people in return for a cut of their earnings as dancers, beggars, or sex workers. Holy fuck. Holy shit, man. This is 2009, bro. Many consider their sexual ambiguities to be God-given. Meanwhile, Khusras are sought out as intermediaries to the divine and are able to offer curses or blessings. There are an estimated 500,000 Khusras in Pakistan. In 2009, there was an estimated 500,000 Khusras in Pakistan. Holy shit. That's like a percentage or two of the current population. Holy crap, bro. But that the last sentence is kind of freaky. Many consider their sexual ambiguities to be God-given. Meaning Khusras as in transgenders, are sought out as intermediaries to the divine and are able to offer curses or blessings. Right, so they're like, there's some witchcraft going on in regards to these guys. Marginalized by, cast out by their families, the Khusras relied on a guru system in which an elder Khusra, transgender, houses younger trans people in return for a cut of their earnings as dancers, beggars, or sex workers. Bro, is that not the whole issue that's going on today? Is that the trans community is trying to bring in a bunch of young people? They basically just said that the older transgender people in Pakistan in 2009 were housing younger ones, probably below age, considering Pakistan, they don't give a fuck about age, right? You're talking about America? Look at a place like Pakistan. In return, they housed them in return for a cut of their earnings as dancers, beggars, or sex. This shit is sick, bro. This shit is sick. So, yeah. India is now just getting introduced to shit like this, right? India is now seeing this shit. This is nothing new. And if it's not new in Pakistan, it's not new in India either, to be honest. It's just now hitting Twitter and shit, and it kind of starting to, you know, run parallel with the United States' trans issues. So that's why it's kind of gaining traction. All right, guys. I'm an hour or seven in. I'm going to try to breeze through the rest. Oh, my God. I didn't get through any of the shit that I wanted to get through. None of it. This was interesting. While we're on the subject of Pakistan, I feel like this kind of transitions well. Which account posted this? And Wokeness, who I follow recently and always engaging with them. But median household, guys, income in the United States by ethnic group. This is so fucking interesting. Indian Americans are number one in America, a median household, $100,000 a year. And I mean, dude, come on. Indians come for one specific purpose. Sorry. Not one. But let's just say three. Become a doctor. Become a freaking engineer. What the fuck is the third option? I don't even know what the third option is, honestly. I mean, yeah, okay. They're business owners, all right? Some of them buy Dunkin' Donuts and shit. 7-Elevens, gas stations, right? I don't give a fuck what you guys say about stereotyping. First of all, I'm brown. I'll say that shit. Second of all, it's true. Number two, Filipinos. Very smart. I like Filipinos. Cool people. Nice people. Three, Taiwanese Americans, 82,000 median income. Sri Lankan. So we got the Asians pretty much running the first like 10 fucking categories. Eight, sorry. We got Sri Lankan at 75,000. Japanese, Malaysian, Chinese, Pakistan. So Asians are owning the average income in America. starting from India and ending with Pakistan, ironically. And then we get to the United States. White Americans, right? We go from Pakistani Americans to white Americans at 59,000. How the hell did this happen? It's so crazy to me. I mean, I guess white people just, you know, I blame one thing on white people is their structure of family, right? That's where I think a lot of this went wrong, and a lot of liberalism and the colleges just took over how America operates, right? It's America operates at such a low level, man. And you got these guys coming from tight-knit households in Asia, right? You got a Pakistani who's going to house his kid in his house until he's 30 and he's done being a doctor, right? Not, it's, oh, you're 18, get the fuck out of my house. Go pay rent, right? And come visit me every Christmas. Because for a while, that's what was happening in American households. And I'm hoping that's not happening anymore. But that is why America is the middle of the, or sorry, white Americans are making $60,000 a year and Indians are making 100. And just below it, the rest is basically all Asians as well. Korean underneath, white, Indonesian, the average American. I don't know what the fuck that means. What's a white American, the average American? It's different. Maybe black. The average Thai Americans, Bangladeshi Americans, Nepalian Americans. These countries all border each other, by the way, between freaking Japan to freaking, I want to say Pakistan. These countries all run across East Asia, right? And these people, the American versions of these individuals are making double almost of what white Americans are making. Percentage of population with a bachelor's degree. Indian, obviously, is number one again, 70%. Korean, 53%. Chinese, 451%. Filipino, 47%. Interesting infographic. And it looks like this is from 2015. So I can only imagine this has gotten way worse. But Americans got to step it up. And I think that the way white Americans have to step up is stop sending your kids to colleges that are so far away and putting them in dorm rooms without even knowing who they are and what they're going to become. Keep that shit tight knit. Set the standard early on. You're going to live with me until you get, you know, a strong foundation underneath you. Just something I had to share. Oh, man. Chicago. This guy. This guy's hard to watch. He's worse than Lori Lightfoot at this point. I guess we should have known that.
There was rioting and organized looting last night, and you're calling to defund the police. Explain that.
Yeah, what we're seeing is obviously is an outbreak of incredible frustration and anguish that communities that have been isolated through poverty over generations. And what we have is sort of a typical, very standard, quite frankly, a very tired response to the regularly scheduled pandemic, which is structural racism. And that response has been to increase police presence that has not led to anything of substance to secure communities and to make communities whole. And so the fact of the matter is, because we're spending nearly $5 million a day just on policing, while families continue to experience homelessness, unemployment, lack of access to healthcare, transportation, you can't take a certain level of urgency to protect capital and the wealthy and not have that same tenacity to provide relief for families that have been devastated through structural racism for generations.
But there was
so this guy basically just excused what's happening in Chicago and blaming it on structural racism. Basically saying, these kids are allowed to act like that because the country hasn't been so good to them historically. How? And even if it wasn't, what would it justify looting and stealing? What justifies for you to loot and steal exactly? You're not being treated any poorly than anyone else, honestly. The only people that Chicagoans are being treated poorly by is the politicians that are in charge, because they're not even acknowledging the fact that these kids are killing each other in broad daylight, right, with unregistered weapons. Meanwhile, families who just want to live to see the next day are getting caught up in between those stray shots and want Chicago to be fixed, and they can't do shit. Meanwhile, this fucking guy is justifying their behavior opposed to even considering fixing it. So yeah, that's what Chicago's looking like right now. Nothing new, though. Nothing new is happening in Chicago, guys. What's been happening in Chicago is long overplanned by Black Lives Matter, which tells you a lot, because I bet you some of the people instigating what's going on in Chicago today are BLM, because BLM is a terrorist fucking group.
If somebody decides to loot a Gucci or a Macy's or a Nike, because that makes sure that that person eats. That makes sure that that person has clothes. That's reparations. That is reparations. Anything they want to take, take it, because these businesses have insurance. They're going to get their money back. My people aren't getting anything. If somebody decides to loot a Gucci.
Yeah. So that's their logic at this point since 2020. Is that looting and rioting and robbing is justified because reparations are due. Yeah. So, you know, she's going to go back into her white neighborhood, park in her, circle driveway in the Hollywood Hills next in her, in her multi-million-dollar mansion. Meanwhile, the individuals who are actually out there in the streets are still going to be subject to a bunch of fucking violence amongst each other. Let's look at what students are learning in order to protest properly in the right scenarios. So if you're not ready for, you got to be ready for this, guys. I mean, these kids are being trained, and no, they're not becoming like MMA fighters, but they know how to be violent between BLM and Antifa and college campuses.
Dozens of students as young as 13 years old are learning protest drills aimed to protect themselves if they encounter scenarios of police force, from pepper spray to beatings. The sessions are organized by the Tennessee Student Solidarity Network, along with Reverend Seku, who has trained thousands across the U.S. on militant, nonviolent civil disobedience.
What are you here for?
Militant, nonviolent civil disobedience.
Ever in this formation, police are going to want to come and put a baton under here. And what are you going to do when I do that?
Let go!
Because if that happens, they can dislocate your shoulder easy.
Students in the network have staged protests for rights for construction workers.
Dude, the professors, man. The professors are teaching these kids. The professors who have never been in any kind of physical situation in their lives, probably, are telling kids what to do and to protest and how to target, police security or any type of authoritative figure that's trying to break them up, even if they're the ones in the wrong. These professors are fucking guilty of incitement, essentially.
Fighting against GOP lawmakers over anti-trans bills and the latest for gun control at Tennessee's House following the Nashville school shooting. Representatives Justin Pearson and Justin Jones joined in solidarity with the students, leading to their expulsion, which lasted less than a week before they were both reinstated. Here, the students demonstrate a series of actions to best use when facing threats from police during protests.
Shields, pepper spray, tear gas, shields. Pepper spray. Eating.
The network hopes that this will help.
You guys watching this shit, man? This is the shit. Like, they're not even training them with, like, MMA or jiu-jitsu. They're fucking teaching them how to run away from pepper spray. Which is... And they're talking about... And they're specifically targeting trans, anti-GOB, trans, gun laws. Be on the lookout for these fucks.
help prepare future generations of student protesters.
Yeah, I had to. That was mind blowing to me. I see one of those motherfuckers, man. They get near me. No, I'm not going to do shit, to be honest. I'm just going to run away. No, seriously, honestly, anytime you're in a situation where you're in a scuffle or something happens, you're training. If you're being trained to get out of a situation like that, that's exactly what it should be, is getting out. Otherwise, if someone's teaching you to, if someone, you got someone kind of messing with you and in your face, and you're sensing potential danger, and you're have been trained to play ball with that danger and continue the fight, right? Then you've been trained improperly. Your training is back the fuck up when the time comes. Get physical if you have to. If you have to get physical. But when you're getting physical, you're not doing it to fight. You're doing it to escape and get the fuck on. Never stick around. Good things never happen. And his friend, his buddy's always behind you. So you're not just fighting one person. Pete Booty Plug. What do they call him? Let's watch a clip on him. Fucking Dr. Seuss looking. Hate this dude.
When it comes to roadway fatalities in America, we lose about 40,000 people every year. It's a level that's comparable to gun violence. And we see a lot of racial disparities, black and brown Americans, tribal citizens, and rural residents.
Which brown are they referring to? Does anyone know? Is it Mexican? Asian? I'm Asian brown, by the way. Why the fuck did you just bring me into this? All right. I'm not owed shit. I'm a first generation American. All right. Nothing happened to me in this country where I'm due shit. All right. Neither black people, if they want shit reparations or whatever, whoever they've been oppressed by, they should be confronting Buttigieg because he represents the Democratic Party.
It's much more likely to lose their lives, whether it's in a car or as a pedestrian being hit by a car. There are a lot of reasons related to discrimination, related to even the ways that roads are designed and built. Who has access to a safe street design that's got crosswalks?
This motherfucker just say that car accidents are racist, bro. He just fucking say that?
It's in good lighting. Who doesn't have that access? That can drive disparities. And we have a responsibility to act on that. We've got a crisis.
That's why this guy will just always forever be known as Pete Booty Plug. Whatever the fuck his name is. All right, I'm skipping over, guys. I was going to watch some Joe Rogan stuff, Budweiser stuff. I'm fuck Budweiser. I'm done talking about them. Let's get straight into child grooming, because that's where we always end this show, is what are the groomers up to? And what's the weekly recap on the child groomers? So let's get into that. We got a patriot at the podium.
Indignation. I want to define something for you tonight. The definition for pervert. It means to lead someone away from what is considered right, natural, or acceptable. This book has been permitted in 6 schools in the Wake County Public School System. I'll read just a little bit of this perversion that we have allowed in the school system. So he bends me over the bed and on the blowjob tip. It says, use your... Doesn't it make you cringe as I read that to you? Makes you crawl in your skin. It's a dastardly deed. The question today is, who is the pervert that's allowing this to be purchased and delivered to our library? Who is the pervert that signs off on this bill? Who are you? What do you stand for to accept this? Can you be in your right mind and be decent as a human to allow this to be at the access in the fingertips of children? We know who the perverts are. There's one political party in this country that supports this junk. It's the Democrat Party. It's a party that castrates children, mutilates children, perverts children, grooms children, murders children, and indoctrinates children. We know who the perverts are. Who is the pervert?
As I said many times before, I'm Jill's husband. Teaching isn't just what she does, it's who she is.
I have never felt prouder of our profession.
We know who the perverts are. There's one political party in this country that supports this junk.
People fear what they don't know. And it's not because of intellectual incapability, it's just lack of exposure.
We are going to transform our nation's education system. And when we do that, we will change the course of our future forever.
Powerful, powerful speeches given at these school board meetings, which is very inspiring. Like, if that doesn't inspire a parent who's witnessing this shit in their community or school board to get up and go and light shit up and tell these corrupt council members or Dearborn or freaking school board members, like, basically whatever it is that they need to be told about, you know, what's going on. I had Dearborn on the mind because Dearborn, I don't know if you guys knew, Dearborn, Michigan had a huge school board meeting where hundreds of people showed up to the point where they had to cancel the scheduled school board meeting in Dearborn because a bunch of parents showed up. And then not only that, so they canceled it and without any basis, right? They lied and said it was a fire hazard, basically. But they could have orchestrated it so that it worked. What they did was they moved it to an auditorium at a public school. And when the parents walked in, they had freaking metal detectors. Crazy. So every time I see one of those, I think of Dearborn, Michigan. And because that's been the biggest school board kind of disruptor in our state over here. And so when I see someone like that dude, this individual kind of standing up and pretty much calling out the school board for what it is, a bunch of fucking corrupt. And he's going for the hub. He's going for the nucleus. He's saying, you know, we know exactly who you are and who you work for. It's fucking Satan, right? He's not holding back. This shit gets harder to watch every day, but look at what dudes are doing to their kids, man.
Instead of saying he is a transgender,
I would say he is transgender.
Instead of saying he transgendered last year,
I would say he transitioned last year.
Instead of saying he changed genders,
he transitioned or he affirmed his gender.
Instead of saying he was born a girl,
I would say he was assigned female at birth.
And you were assigned male at birth and you identify as
male.
And I was assigned male at birth and I identify as
non-binary.
Instead of saying before he became a boy,
I would say before he...
Hold on, what the fuck? The dad is non-binary? Sick fuck is influencing his son about this shit because he's the non-binary? Put this motherfucker in jail, man. This poor kid is... The kid is saying he's normal. He's saying I'm a boy and identify as a boy. The dad said, I'm a male, but I identify as a fucking non-binary. So the kid is more typical in the head than this fucking psychopath. I mean, if these guys don't deserve to be imprisoned, they deserve to be imprisoned and dealt with by the fucking other prisoners who fucking hate pedophiles. Because this is that same behavior.
Or he transitioned.
Instead of saying when he was a girl,
I would say when he presented as a woman.
Instead of saying being trans means you're gay,
I would say gender identity and sexual orientation.
The kid's fucking reading something. He doesn't look at his eyes shift. He can't think of what to say here, right? That's big screen, this kid. He can't think of what to say. So he's not even being fucking genuine. His shitty fucking non-binary dad is telling him what to say. As soon as he forgets, because he doesn't want to remember this dumb shit has nothing to do with him. right? He's being held up against his dad, his own will, because his dad is a psychopath who thinks he's fucking not a dude. He thinks he has no gender. So he has to look at his script right here, right? Ah, dad, you fucking asshole. I don't know what the hell I'm talking about. This is a bunch of bullshit. I got to look at this stupid poster board he put in front of me.
Orientation are not the same.
Also,
mind your own business.
Sick. People are fucking sick. Canada, you got a bunch of politicians walking around in high heels. The fuck? Where's your dignity, you pussies? Oh my God, dude. This is how you trigger me. This is how you trigger me. Bunch of dudes acting like a bunch of bitches. Wearing high heels. Get the fuck on. You clown ass motherfuckers, man. Look at this psychopath. This one's a fucking doozy.
If you back a wild animal into a corner, they're going to become a dangerous animal. So if you want to die on that hill of yours of righteousness and moral majority, then you go right ahead. I dare you to try and stop me from going into a women's bathroom. It will be the last mistake.
Shout out to Shabzilla. Look at this fuck. He's so ugly. Look at this piece of shit, bro. Hold up. Hold up. Look how fat and ugly this motherfucker is. He couldn't find a girl, so he had to become a fucking fake ass woman and didn't even bother to shed some weight and look somewhat as a respectable woman, right?
I dare you to try and stop a transgender woman in my presence from using the bathroom. It will be the last mistake you ever make. This is a call to action and a call to arms to everybody within.
Hey, FBI, you know how you're always looking for people to investigate with gun violence or whatever it is that you guys are not investigating? I think this is a very good cue that you have a psychopath on your hands that may harm someone one day because he's literally threatening them. The dude's literally threatening people on TikTok. Christopher Ray picking his ass, doing jack shit.
Within the United States that are scared, worried, have children that are transgender, lesbian, bi, or gay. This is a call to action. You need to arm up. Plain and simple.
That was the whitest way you could say that. Deliver that. You need to arm up, everyone. Arm up.
Go out, buy a gun, learn how to use it efficiently through and through, because the time to act is now. You need to protect yourself and you need to protect your fellow transgender brothers and sisters and theys and thems. You need to protect the rest of us in the LGB community, as I'm going to do myself, because there are lots of people like me who are not afraid to die. I love my girlfriends to death, but I would rather die for them to secure their safety, freedom, and future.
I don't even want to know what this asshole meant by girlfriends. This is scum of the earth. Guys, what the fuck? You got to be on your P's and Q's, dude. Transgenders with fucking guns, man? That's something to look out for, dude. This is not a joke, though. Honestly, I'm chuckling, but I'm catching myself. Like, this is not a joke. This guy just threatened to say whoever objects our ideology, we're going to fucking... Did he not just threaten the entire existence of anti-trans or anyone who's not, you know, with their sick ideology? Did he not just threaten them inadvertently?
Than to live and not have anything done. So you go ahead. You protect your kids.
Oh, okay. Can't protect my kids or else you're going to shoot me. Got it. So this is where this is going. Real quick. Let's go through a quick rushed ending here. Teacher and LGBTQ activist arrested on charges of raping a boy in deep state. Huh. That's interesting, Eric McDermott. It just so happens to be that you guys are fucking pedophiles. Thank you for proving our point. That's all I'm going to share with that. Another video for you regarding PBS and pedophilia regarding the trans community.
Sesame Street. Look at this, dude. Look at what they're doing. They're forcing all this stuff on our kids, man. Look at that abomination right there with the horns and everything, dude. What is happening? Lipstick. Look at this, dude.
So they got Sesame Street characters dressing up as women with beards. And because and they're pretty much resembling this sicko freak with the same look. Sesame Street. I mean, hopefully no one's watching this shit anymore. Hopefully you got a big tight grasp on what your parents or your kids are watching. But what the fuck?
It's incredible. Pushing it on our kids, man. Totally unacceptable. Sesame Street. Look at this, dude.
So Elmo's pretty much dressing up as a drag queen, guys. I mean, he's a dude. Is Elmo? I don't even know if Elmo's a boy or girl, honestly, now that we think about it. But I think it's a boy. But now he's wearing a beard, right? But with women's hair and highlights. With the women's scarf on. Right. Meanwhile, this fucking sicko who's actually a human being with the horns, who I will never accept in my society, as long as he tries to inflict or implement his dumb ideology onto my kids. Nope. That's Sesame Street for you guys. So if you guys are still looking for reasons to cancel mainstream media, streaming by the TV, whatever. There's your reason. I'm way over time right now. But look at this fucking groomer.
On the drag queen go, shimmy, shimmy, shimmy.
Oh, yeah.
Anybody know what a shimmy is? Shimmy, shimmy, shimmy.
I think I have shimmy, shimmy, head. Shimmy.
The no, shoulders either. On the drag queen go, shimmy, shimmy, shimmy.
Oh, yeah, I think shimmy, shimmy, shimmy.
On the drag queen go.
Yeah. I mean... I'm sure at this point the parents know what's happening in these schools and they're allowing it, right? I don't think there's a lot of situations where the parents are kind of being caught by surprise when it gets to this degree, right? I think we're at the point where like these parents are like, yeah, I'm a sick fuck. Go ahead. Let my kids see this shit, you know. Go ahead. It's all good. Last video, we'll end it on a high note. The Nelk boys who just recently interviewed Donald Trump, pretty much mocking transgenderism, and I thought it was freaking hilarious. We'll end it on a good, funny note. I thought this was good.
We wanted to do like a gender transition to the main female. But we don't want to neuter him. Have you seen
I'm
this
sorry,
person?
I don't authorize you to be recording.
So no, we're just filming a documentary for his transition.
No,
you guys don't offer
no.
That would be, yeah, those are the specialists.
That's very transphobic. Let me explain to you. So basically, like,
right,
it's a male dog, but
I got it.
Every time if we put a tutu in front of him, he'll put it on right away.
Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't call that behavior. We were saying gender identity is behavioralism.
No. I want you to leave. This is my property. I want to leave the premises. Okay. I'm going to charge you for trespassing if you continue staying.
So we. We can't do a gender transition.
I'm just telling you, you gotta leave the property.
I'm reporting this to the LGBTQ plus minus two.
Wherever you like.
We wanted to do like a gender.
I like these guys, bro. They're actually mocking the bullshit, right? And they have a strong following, a young following, the Nelk boys. So they have their influence, and they're influencing people in the right way in this regard. I don't know what else they're teaching people. I know they drink a lot of alcohol. I'm not into that shit. But to disagree, I agree with them. But that's all I got for you guys tonight, man. Happy Sunday night. We're coming to an end. We're heading Monday. Sucks, I know. Keep America great. Big elections coming up next year, guys. Stay united. Stay together. Conservatives, right? Stay together. And, you know, we have our differences in a lot of ways, but we got to find our strengths because this is the time to kind of unite for the kids. And we have our differences with race and religion and, you know, cultural differences. Yes, we should work on fixing those and kind of molding that into, you know, an America, you know, traditional America that we know, right? We got to follow the principles of this country. So let's do that. But we got to focus on getting these fuckers out of here, man. The trannies, get them out. You know, the groomers, the Democrats. America's going to see, I think, going to see, has great things to come, man. So I'm excited. And it was nice to stream for you guys. Shout out to Shabzilla again, who was chatting it up in here earlier. But I'm going to end the stream now. See you guys next week. Peace.